You need to be a tea leaf reader to get any sort of handle on how the 2018 defense budget will come out. All of the Washington ways of getting things in and out of a budget are coming into play. For how contractors can at least keep track of the game, we turn to Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And if you're not Lockheed and Northrop Grumman and some of those guys, Larry, you really don't have much influence over the budget, even though you live and die by it. So what should contractors look for?
Tom, contractors should be looking for not just what's in the straight defense budget proposals that are coming out of either the authorizing or appropriations committees, but they should be looking to see what other money that may not count against budget caps might be included, particularly by the appropriators. There's a general agreement, Tom, among both Republicans and Democrats in Congress, and supported by the president as well, that defense spending needs to go up. The country's facing a lot of national security issues right now around the globe, and that it's been a little capped, a little too tightly capped recently. However, just like anything else in Washington, Tom, increasing the budget, even for defense, in a straightforward manner throws up some political roadblocks that makes it difficult to do without, say, increasing money on spending for a host of domestic issues as well. So Congress is expected to look at some devices, some workarounds to get DOD more money than is being originally proposed, certainly more money than was originally proposed by even President Trump, even though that new money might not count against a budget cap.
So even looking at your individual program as it travels through, you have to just keep an eye on that, because the macro picture may or may not apply to that which you are selling.
Well, I think it's always a good idea to make sure that you are following your program as well as you can through the congressional appropriations process. And if it looks like that program might be on the chopping block, or even more likely, Tom, used as a trading horse for somebody else's priority, you need to be aware of that. As I am fond of telling contractors, Congress can do things for you and Congress can do things to you. And the appropriations process is certainly a perfect example of that. So if you're a company that does a lot of business with the Department of Defense, particularly out of a couple of well-identified accounts, it's always a good idea to make sure that those accounts are going to go through the process. And even if you're not a Lockheed Martin or a Northrop Grumman, making sure that your local representative, your senator from your state, knows that you're a government contractor, you have families and employees that rely on those jobs, rely on these programs, and that they provide an economic benefit to your state and district. You can't take that for granted, and contractors need to make sure that their voice is heard.
And if you're a sub, you probably also have to pay close attention to the primes you're working with, too.
Well, certainly, Tom, prime contractors who are out or feel like their contracts may be threatened might be looking for some ways to reduce their overall prices, to keep their strategic level relationships intact, and to keep the deals going that they've made themselves. So if you're a subcontractor, you need to make sure that you're not taking your position as a subcontractor for granted, even though there are some statutory protections for small business subcontractors. It's always better, I think, to be proactive, making sure that you're having the right discussions with the prime. They may have a different view on whether or not your program is going to be protected through the budget process. They may know better about whether or not it's going to be protected. And if there seems to be some concern or hint that it might not be protected, as a subcontractor, I think most of us would probably be happier with 85% of a loaf than no loaf, Tom. So it's good to be able to stay on the ball and have those conversations. So a lot of people around Washington, even though they are very beholden to the legislative process, don't like it. And I seldom recommend that people spend a lot of time on it because it can be hard to follow. But by the same fact, you ignore what Congress does and what the budget process is at your peril.
So eat the sausage, but maybe not watch it being made minute by minute, I guess. We're speaking with Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And I want to switch gears a minute. You heard something stated at a recent conference, which I think is a question a lot of people have. And that is, the government says it wants innovation and puts out RFPs and RFQs for innovative solutions, but it also doesn't want to buy failure, and it doesn't want to experiment with its own money. It seems like a self-contradiction.
It is a self-contradiction, Tom, and this was a point that was made by GSA's chief technology officer recently at an industry event, where he said, I want that the government telling contractors that they want contractors to be innovative, but to always be successful doesn't make any sense. And that's true whether or not you're a contractor or whether you're a buyer of technology or user of technology in the federal government. Because it's true that both contractors and people in the government who are using technology feel the dual pressure. They are being told that they need to do more with less, that they need to embrace new technology. Cloud is a perfect example of this. We've been talking about cloud adoption in the federal space for over 5 years now. And the fact is that because of some of the risks inherent or perceived with moving to a cloud platform, the federal government has been much slower in adopting cloud solutions than their commercial market counterparts. Why? Because government buyers and government users of technology feel like they have to hit the ball every time they're at the plate. And Tom, not even Bryce Harper does that.
And I guess maybe the implication there then is, besides being experimental, if you will, with what it is you're after, you might have to explore different contracting and even granting techniques to maybe mitigate some of the risk.
Well, innovation can have many faces, and you're exactly right in that comment, Tom. It's not just the innovative solution, although that's commonly what we talk about. It can be an innovative way to get the product or service that your agency needs to meet its missions, whether it's using other procurement authority to move quickly, particularly in the defense environment with multiple layers of bureaucracy, whether it's developing a prototype that can be used and maybe put into production later, or if it's an incremental approach to a larger project so that you're not trying to bite everything off at once. And look, while government agencies should definitely be thinking along these lines, contractors as well need to be up to date on some of the latest acquisition methods and some of those innovative ways of doing business. Contractors talk with lots of government buyers all of the time, and so they're much more likely in some cases to see what best practices are than a government buyer in a single agency that's used to doing things the agency way. So there's a real opportunity here for a contractor to help its customer, help both the customer and the contractor by using an innovative approach and by understanding that when we're talking innovation in government, we're really talking revolutionary, or rather, we're really talking evolutionary, not revolutionary.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. As always, thanks for that insight as we go into the dog days of summer.
Tom, let's hope we can all stay cool, and I wish your listeners happy selling.